Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. No, hang on. Yeah. During the supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Our reading today from John focuses on part of Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus has washed their feet and then goes on to tell them he knows one of them is going to betray him. As they sit there in shock, asking who it could be, Jesus gives a piece of bread to Judas, showing that he knows what he's about to do. Jesus tells Judas to do it quickly, to get on with the betrayal. But the rest of the disciples don't understand. When Judas leaves the room, they think he's gone to buy more food. Jesus knows what is going to happen. He knows that this is the last time he will sit down to eat with his closest friends before betrayal, torture, and death on the cross. But the disciples cannot possibly understand this. Jesus does tell them, but it seems like nobody is really listening to what he is saying. After Judas has gone, Jesus tells his disciples he will not be with them for very much longer, speaking tenderly to them and calling them little children. His words are gentle and full of sorrow. "Where I am going, you cannot come." He knows they will feel lost without him and that this is a goodbye conversation. Again, I doubt that any of them really understood what he was saying. How could they? Jesus was their friend and their teacher. They had been with him throughout his ministry, and how could he possibly just leave them? Then Jesus gives the commandment, and it is a new commandment. He is very clear about that. Previously, Jesus has spoken of loving your neighbor as yourself, but here he says something different. And it isn't a piece of advice, it isn't a suggestion, it's a commandment. This is something Jesus is telling his disciples to do, and by telling his disciples, he's also telling us. The concept of loving others is not new, but that is not what Jesus is commanding. "Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Having just sung those words, they should be at the forefront of our minds, and hopefully easy to remember. But while they sound simple, it's worth unpicking what they really mean. I don't doubt that the disciples already loved Jesus and already loved one another. After all they'd been through together, there had to be a close bond of love. They knew that Jesus was teaching them to be loving to each other. The disciples knew all about loving their neighbours. The difference here is loving one another as Jesus has loved them. This isn't loving as normal people love. This isn't loving to the best of our human abilities. This is loving as Jesus loves, loving as God loves. That's a much bigger and more difficult love. So what does it look like to love like Jesus? Loving like Jesus means loving in grace and service. Jesus makes himself the servant of his disciples. He washes their feet, doing something that makes him much more lowly than his friends. He elevates them by tending to the dirtiest and lowest part of their bodies. And John doesn't suggest that Jesus discriminates here. He washes everyone's feet. Loving like Jesus means loving unconditionally. Jesus loves all of his disciples, including those who are going to let him down. Peter is going to deny him, and Judas is going to betray him. And yet Jesus washes their feet and continues to love them. Jesus prays for forgiveness for his executioners. To love like Jesus means to love without condition and to keep on loving, even when we are betrayed and condemned. Loving like Jesus means loving sacrificially. Jesus died for us, and there cannot be a greater love. The way that Jesus gives up his life and accepts a torturous death because it will give freedom and life to others is an act of love that stops us in our tracks. That's how much Jesus loves us. Loving like Jesus means loving eternally. Jesus loves us always, consistently and faithfully. Jesus doesn't stop loving us, ever. We can trust him and rely on him because he will always love us. And if we love like Jesus, we love and never stop. Jesus has always loved us, and we don't need to do anything to deserve that love. We don't need to prove ourselves. We don't need to be worthy. The love will always be there. As his final commandment, Jesus is asking a lot of his disciples, and he is asking a lot of us. Can we really love each other graciously, unconditionally, sacrificially, eternally? The fact that this is the final commandment shows how important it is. We all need love to thrive. Jesus calls the disciples children, and anyone who's studied child psychology or child development will know how important it is to be loved and to feel loved. It isn't enough for children to have their bodily needs taken care of. They need more than that if they are to live and to thrive. There was an experiment in the 1960s that would never receive ethical approval today, and I'm not going to show you pictures because it's really upsetting. Harry Harlow took baby rhesus monkeys away from their mothers and raised them in isolation, and they didn't do very well. Noticing how attached they became to terry toweling cloths, he made a mother figure out of wire and put it in their cages. There was one version covered in foam rubber and soft cloth, and another that was just wire and wood. In some experiments, the soft version had a milk bottle, and in other conditions, it was the wire version that had the food. The results showed that the baby monkeys spent significantly longer clinging to the soft, comforting mother, even when the other model had the food. The feeling of being loved, of being nurtured and supported, is the most important to us. Instinctively, we know this, and Jesus knew it too. Can you really know you are being loved without feeling the love? So how do we love like Jesus? How do we really love one another, really love without borders? It isn't easy, and Jesus knows that, and we can't do it on our own. We need God to help us. So we can ask for God's help, but then what? What does it look like to really love like we are being loved by God? It isn't enough to pray for someone, to think loving thoughts about them, but to keep our loving small and internal. Loving like Jesus is practical, and we have to get out there and do it. If we love one another, we need to show that love. I don't think we can truly say that we are loving as Jesus loves without actually doing something about it. And I also think that's a really big ask. When we really love, we make ourselves vulnerable. When we love without borders, we lose our own borders. And it's a scary thing to do. Jesus took enormous risks in his love for us, and it cost him his life. And even then, he didn't stop. He had amazing grace and unfailing love. If we love like Jesus, we take risks and we challenge ourselves. How often do we really show love to people who, on the face of it, don't seem to deserve it? How often do we make ourselves vulnerable and go out of our comfort zone to actively love someone? Maybe some of us do it and do it on a regular basis. But I'm going to put my hand up and say that I don't do it very often. Being honest, I think the opportunities to really love come more often than we might like to admit. But we don't always see them. Maybe we're just not looking, or we're just refusing to see. It's easy to love those whom we find lovable. It's tricky to love those whom we find tolerable. And it's almost impossible to love those who hate us, who hurt us, or who we just can't bear to be around. Without thinking about it, we tend to set conditions and love according to those conditions. Jesus knows what he is commanding his disciples to do is not going to come easily to them. So we really need to ask for help with this. We need to ask God to show us how to love like Jesus. We need to challenge ourselves, maybe to give more than we thought we could, to speak to people we don't understand, to try to make a difference in someone else's life. Loving like Jesus doesn't mean giving a free pass to all and sundry. Jesus certainly didn't do that. He challenged people on their behaviour, but he still loved them. If we really love someone, we tell them when they're getting it wrong, when they're making mistakes. If we didn't love them, we wouldn't bother. As my children will tell you, I have regularly explained that I'm saying no because I do love them, not because I don't. I don't have the answers here, and I don't know the one thing we all have to do so we can all love like Jesus. But I do know that we need to keep asking God to help us. We can try to unconditionally love the person right in front of us. And if we mess up and we get that wrong, we can ask God to help us to try to unconditionally love the next person right in front of us. And keep on doing that, and keep on trying, because that's what Jesus told us to do.